Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. God is good. Welcome to Bethel. We are glad that you are here. You are loved. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you are going through, God is big enough. Is he not? Is he not? Merry Christmas. I am glad that you are here this morning. Hey, thank you, those people who dropped by cards and gifts and everything. I very much appreciate it. Make us feel very welcome this year. This is my first Christmas here in Brandon in a long time. So we're looking forward to God doing some great things today and tomorrow. And so I'm hoping that you're going to be here. What I do usually at Christmas, like I said before, is I have a section that I call People Are Crazy at Christmas. If you haven't been here, there is a section which is called People Are Crazy at Christmas. And if I have not convinced you over these last two sermons, today will be the defining thing. Now, you know, Christmas has their traditions and things like that. One of them is a decoration that I would say that perhaps 100% of the families here have. It's called the nativity scene. Nativity scene, does anyone here have a nativity scene in your house? Raise your hand. Yeah, I have a nativity scene. I have 5 nativity scenes. Anybody here? I have 5 nativity scenes. I'm thinking that probably that is the case. You know what it is. It's that ceramic. You walk in the front door of my house, one of the first things that you'll see is a nativity scene. It is a ceramic white one, looks very, very nice. I think there's another one upstairs. There's probably another one downstairs. There's still one or two probably in a box somewhere that we didn't take out. And for those of you who do not know what a nativity scene is, it is a picture. It is a figurine set of the Christmas story. You have the Christ child, you have Mary, and you have Joseph, and if you have an elaborate one, then you'll have like the 3 wise men, and you'll have the shepherds that are there. There'll be an angel and a star over the top, and there'll be kind of this little manger scene. You know what I'm talking about, right? But somewhere along the way, folks, this has gotten out of hand. And I don't know what goes on in people's heads, but for example, for $79.99 US dollars on Amazon, you can get this, the hipster nativity scene. Taking selfies, they got, what are those things called? Those little righty things that are there, the hipster nativity scene. This is kind of crazy, don't you think? But it does not stop there. How about this? The next one, the zombie nativity. What is going on here? Rubber ducky nativity. Because you haven't had enough. How about this one? Meat nativity. Like nothing says the birth of Christ like bacon and sausage, whatever. Hey, cupcake toppers nativity. Now that looks good. I think that's pretty creative there. And hey, who couldn't go without your mermaid nativity scene? Mermaid nativity scene. Now this one just grosses me out. Spam. Spam nativity. What is somebody thinking? That's it. We all groan. That's an amen groan, isn't it? Snow globe nativity. S'mores nativity. And for those of you who like wildlife, there is the moose nativity. Okay? The frog nativity. The inside of frog nativity. Monkey nativity. And if that's not enough, woodland creatures nativity would be next. Okay? How about the nestling dolls nativity? For those of you who remember those things, hey, Frankenstein nativity. Can you believe that? The Frankenstein nativity, and here's the topper I think of all. Father Christmas nativity. A Santa Claus nativity. These are kind of crazy things which we have. Chocolate nativity. Now, my favorite is this. Flip over to the next one. Minimalist nativity. How about negativity nativity? That just doesn't make sense to me, folks. For those of you gardeners, the gnome nativity. And who can't go without the road trip nativity? Those are 22 of amongst the popular ones that you see. And I could have gone on. I could have went with superheroes. I could have went with a whole bunch. That's kind of crazy, don't you think? What is happening? What's going on? And that might upset. Hopefully this doesn't upset you. But the idea is, particularly with the first one, the hipster nativity. I think what it is asking is of some people, and in particular time, what would actually it look like if Jesus was born today? All of us have a thought in our mind of the Christmas story. It's probably not right. It probably has a little bit of North American culture kind of tied into it. And as I was talking last week, I had mentioned this, that if we were to draw a comparison of the birth of Christ and the place that he was born and the conditions in which he was born, it would probably be more accurate to see it as a slum in a low-income neighborhood, a third-world country. That would probably be the most accurate. And so my desire today and tomorrow, Christmas Eve, is to somehow renew the undeniable truth that God's demonstration and the lengths that he will go to draw close to you and to show you his love. And so hopefully I can do that today. Hopefully I can do that tomorrow. You're going to want to be at the Christmas Eve service. Let me just ask you about Christmas Eve. Would you rather have an hour-long service that feels like an hour and a half, or would you like an hour and 15-minute service that feels like half an hour? Okay. That's just my way of saying, you know, I've packed so much into this thing that I'm hoping we can get into an hour, but I'm having my doubts as I kind of look through. We got lots of wonderful things, and I have, through the years, collected some great videos, and there is a reason that my former church called me Captain Video. So you are going to enjoy tomorrow. Hopefully that you can make it out to that. God wants to draw close to you. Whenever I say that, I think this thing. And perhaps you do too. I think, how is it possible for God to intimately love me while at the same time hold the same intimate level, close level of love with billions of other people at the same time. Have you ever wondered that? If God loves me and I talk to God like he is my father and I'm in continual close relationship with him, how is it possible for that to take place with billions of people around the world? Well, the simple fact is this, that he is God. He's awesome. He's created the universe. And the other mind-boggling thing is this. When it comes down to it, we don't deserve it. We totally do not deserve this love. We totally do not deserve this step that God has made towards us. And this is such a powerful thing that I think Satan will do everything that he can, that he will put a majority of his resources to convince you otherwise. Because if you became convinced of the fact of the intimate love of God, that it would change you for the rest of your life and it would change your eternity. And so if you're coming out, this is kind of the third in a series of three called Unwrapping Christmas. And if you weren't here and didn't see it, we do have them online. The first two parts are on the line, as well as online we have been doing a thing called the Extra Cut. Now, if you go into the sermons aspect of the website, you will see kind of the same title of the sermon. It'll say The Extra Cut. And what it is like a 10 to 15 minute overview of what we spoke on, perhaps some things that I didn't say during the sermon that I didn't have time or I forgot or whatever. And so I do that with Pastor Bryce Martindale. On one of the Extra Cuts, I call him Brad Martindale. And so his name actually is Bryce, so... But anyways, I invite you to take a look at some of those things. What it centers around is a passage of scripture in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to extend it a little bit today. I'm going to read a couple more verses to kind of draw out the whole context of what the passage is actually saying, okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me. I do have it on PowerPoint. It says this, Galatians chapter 4, verses starting at verse 4. It says, now when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship. And because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God made you also an heir. Stop and think of that concept for a little while. It is something which is absolutely amazing. Let me tell you, as you read on in that passage of scripture, the whole context in which this is stated comes from an angle of anger. You read on in verses 8 and verse 9. What Paul says is this, since you know this, how come you're not living that way? If all these things are true, how come you're going back? Why are you content to live like a slave when in fact you are actually a son? Have I wasted my time with you? It's kind of what he says. I've wasted my time with you. If you don't gather this, if you don't grasp this whole concept, you need to kind of understand it. See, Paul was basically saying to the Galatian people that they had kind of got it, but they had not grasped it. That they had grasped it, but it was just a surface level. And the challenge for us today is to ask ourselves, are we doing the same thing? Do we just have a surface level faith? Is it superficial? How deep is your faith? Because surface level faith gives the appearance of completion, but really it's not. What happens is when the times get rough and when times get difficult or in times where you're not too sure what to do, you revert back to slavery condition. And Paul is saying, no, you can't do that, because when you are adopted, you are in. And that's the challenge for us. When you are adopted, when you are part of the family, you are in. You are part of the thing. And we talked about the exact timing. We talked about the extravagant generosity. Now what I want to talk about is the extreme intimacy of God. And in order to do that, we have an analogy here, which is that of adoption. And so let me just tell you this. If you are adopted, you are in. There are three key ingredients to this thing which we call adoption. There is inclusion, there is intimacy, and there is involvement. So if you give me a couple of minutes, let me expound this to you. Are we okay? Not hungry yet? We're good to go, folks? Excellent. If you're adopted, if you're part of the family of God, it says that you are included. You are part of the family. The term adoption at that particular time was something which was formed. The term adoption was probably non-existent during this time because nobody was adopted. The first orphanage didn't come till hundreds of years later, and it started with the church. Started with Christian individuals who saw the need that was there. But at that particular time, people did not get adopted. So that probably wasn't a word at that particular time. It was the literal translation of this word adoption is to make as a son or to make as a daughter. There was no other word. The English word adoption kind of came in because they were trying to figure out what kind of Greek to put in there. And they said, well, it's adoption. Although at that time, they didn't have a clue what adoption was. At that time, they just got rid of their babies if they didn't want them, even whether they were born or whether they were unborn. This was kind of the situation back then. It was unheard of to take a child into your house and have them as your own. Now, I have never, ever adopted a child. If you're here and you have adopted a child, I believe that that is a wonderful thing. There was a time when we were first married where we considered it. We had a little bit of, it took a little bit of time for us to have our first child. And so I've never, ever had that experience. But, folks, I have adopted a cat. Many of you here probably have gone through the process of adopting a cat. Go to the Humane Society where there are a bunch of cats that are there, or you go to a farmer's house whose cat has had a litter, and before they throw them in the lake, before they hand them to the Humane Society, you have an opportunity. And so what happens is you go into the process and you kind of see them in these cages and you hear that song that goes by then in the commercials and you feel bad. And so what you do is you choose out the cat that you think is the most loving one, the one that convinces you that it will love you. Either that or there's the sympathetic crew here in the church who will take the ugliest cat. They will take the cat that thinks, I want to save the cat that nobody else wants to save. And the cat has lost an eye and it's got one of its arms run over and broken. And it somehow doesn't have a tail. Answers to the name Lucky. So what happens is you take this cat home. And the cat comes in. And you have to feed it. You have to sign over to the Humane Society that you won't kill this cat. And you bring it home and you feed it. And it sits in your favorite chair, or it fits in what used to be your favorite chair, right? And you have to train it to go into a box of litter. And then you are the one that has to take the litter out. And if you don't take the litter out, then it begins to smell like a mountain lion is in your house, right? And what happens is this cat has free reign in your house, doesn't it? It becomes part of the family. We had a cat just a couple of years ago. It lived almost 18 years, and it was the only cat that my kids had ever known. It was a kind of a sad day when that cat went. I was going to say to be with Jesus, but I don't know if cats go to be with Jesus. But anyways. Well, what if I were to tell you that all of a sudden you were to take an adopted cat home and you got it in one of those kennel boxes and the cat just refuses to come out? You know what I mean? It just kind of stays in the box and you try and coax it out, but it never ever comes out. It just kind of sits there in the front entrance of your house. The door is open. You kind of put some food there, but it is content to stay in the house. It never ever leaves. I would say this about this cat, that even though it is free cat, even though it has become part of the family, it still is a kennel cat, still kind of stuck in that one particular position. And even though it's free to do so, it's still kind of stuck in the kennel. Neil Anderson, in a number of his books, one which is called Overcoming Addictive Behavior, tells the story of a individual who had gone through a terrible time and suffered a great amount of abuse. And what had happened was they had found out, and this child all of a sudden was adopted to a royal family, to a well-to-do family. And what happened was the family had him, and he decided to live in the basement. And they coaxed him to try and come out of the basement. But the fact was, you can't take someone out of the basement if they don't want to be out of the basement. They have to choose themselves to come out of the basement. And the story he was telling was the same as the fact that the same thing happens to us in terms of our faith. That many of you may have accepted Jesus as your Savior. You may have become part of the family. But you are still content to live in the basement. Some of the biggest battles we have today have to do with the fact that perhaps we don't feel like we're included because we're in security. But if you are part of the family, if you are part of the family, you are included. Do you realize this morning that you are included? I know that loneliness is epidemic today, particularly in the generation which is growing up, because they have this electronic age that they have become part of. They are able to communicate with each other through text, through computer, through tablet, through phone. And somehow there is this kind of loneliness that has happened as a result. But the thing is, if you are part of the family of God, if you have chosen to serve Jesus, you are included. Inclusion is something which is wonderful, having to do with adoption. Amen? Not only are you included, but there's a level of intimacy which is involved. That when you are adopted, that means that you have been the one that has been chosen. Right? I have heard of surprise pregnancies, but I have not heard of a surprise adoption. It doesn't happen because you are chosen. You know, there are some people who are adopted, and I have not studied this enough to speak on authority about this. But there are an element of people who are adopted that somehow go through life feeling that somehow they are left out, or perhaps that they are secondhand citizens, or that they don't really belong because they're not flesh and blood. They're somehow adopted. But nothing could be further than the truth. Because you are adopted because you are loved. It is the fact that God loves you. It is family inclusion motivated by love. And Scripture talks about this all the time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My favorite is 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as what's called an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the NIV version. I believe the King James version has this big long word called propitiation. And somewhere along the line, the NIV kind of said, well, let's just say atoning sacrifice. But really, the word propitiation is a better word. Because propitiation basically means that God paid for our sins, but there was a level of mercy and love that caused him to do it. There is the fact that there is an intimacy. I've never met a family that has adopted a child and talked to them and say, well, you know what, I just needed a couple more hands to do the gardening. You know, it was just a good financial decision for us to have another child. Let me tell you, folks, having three kids, that I love my kids, but it is not a good financial decision to have children. Amen? For those of you who have, we have been costly as well as we have had that cost as well. The formula is this: God always takes the first step. God takes the step, takes the motivation to love you. And then from there, there's a step that you have to take. The love of God is extended. And then James says this, okay, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The aspect of intimacy, which is there. The last one is this. Now that there is inclusion, now that there is intimacy, the natural progression is the thing which we'll call involvement. That I'm part of the family of God. That when God breathes his Spirit, and this is what it's about. The Spirit of God is breathed upon me and I become a son. I become a daughter. by virtue of the fact that I believe in him, the Spirit of God comes upon me, I become a son. And so the question you have to ask yourself is, what next? See, I don't believe that God loves you. I think that God loves you so much. He loves you too much to be a couch potato. Let me just say that. Maybe that's the best way to put it. If I adopted or bought you into the family and through such a traumatic thing, doesn't it seem to reason that I would not say, okay, now that you're here, here's the remote. Just kind of sit, watch TV for the rest of your life until you die. No, it stands to me, if I were to think, it makes sense that the God of order and purpose would have a purpose for me. To live a life of freedom, to live a life of meaning, to live a life of dependence, to live a life of purpose, to accept God's graces, to accept God's offer to be adopted into his family. And that's what it's all about. And what happens is many people are stuck between, Lord, come into my life, and Lord, how then do I live? We're kind of stuck in the middle, not too sure what to do. But when you become part of the family of God, you become part of his purpose. To be able to go out and make disciples, to love people as he loves him, the whole process of God moving, that love reaches and love reconciles and love restores and great things take place. So you see, intimacy is such a wonderful thing that God has done everything that he has. Every time Christmas comes and he comes in the flesh, he demonstrates to you that he loves you so much that he wants to know you intimately. One of my favorite authors is Max Lucado. I love Max Lucado because I don't think that there is a person who paints a picture of the love of God better than he does in a number of his books. He just does it time and time and time again. In one of his books, he talks about a family in his church that adopts a Haitian child. Her name is Karenette. And as he begins to talk about the story, he says that she is absolutely so excited because she has this family that is adopting her. And what he has done is he has come to claim her, but he hasn't yet come to carry her away. And so as he's telling the story, he says, every time the gate of the orphanage opens, she jumps to her feet thinking, is this the day? Is this the time when he's going to come? And she is just beside herself with all of these emotions that she has. She's raised up and has no parents in a country which is amongst the poorest in the world. And some family has kind of come from along the way and they have adopted her. And all the processes and purposes of adoption have taken place. The lawyers have been sought. The price has been paid. Everything that has been done. They've given her a teddy bear and they've taken to have a bunch of pictures. All that is necessary to happen next is for the father to come, embrace her, and bring her home. And she is so excited. She is beside herself. She's just waiting. She's thinking ahead to the time when she's going to be with the Father. And she's so excited because she has seen this act of love that is given to her. And the question I ask myself is this: shouldn't we all be? Shouldn't we all be feeling that way? Because the same thing has happened in the spiritual realm. That God has come. He has paid the price. He has claimed you. And it's just a matter of time before he will carry you away. And there is a joy that cannot be reproduced in any other way. God, move in our lives to restore the joy of being adopted. And if you're here for the first time or here and you're on a journey and you're saying, I don't know. I don't know if I'm in. You can leave this place knowing for sure that God is with you. What it is, it's just a prayer. It's a prayer to ask God to come in. It's a prayer to say, God, I want to know you. I want you in my life. The prayer goes something like this: Dear Lord, thank you for coming, dying on the cross, and I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. There's no way I can make it to heaven on my own. But when you died on the cross, you provided a way for me to know you. And so I want to know you. I want you to come in. I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. And so I ask you to do so. And so please come into my life, and I'm going to live for you. And when that happens, all of a sudden, God sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts to a level of intimacy. God, I pray for each and every individual who is here today. I pray for your power. I pray for your anointing. I pray for your blessing. But I pray most of all, God, somehow, in some special way, in some unique way, by the Spirit of God, in a way that I can never ever do it myself, Father, I pray that as we drive away from this place, God, that there will be a renewal of the fact that there is a God who loves us. And that's, Lord, something so excited to be a part of. So Spirit of God, begin to move, work right now in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.